Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Hyundai. Restart your journey towards a greener Ireland at Hyundai.ie.
Catherine has texted to ask, is there any chance Rhiannon would compile a book of her amazing lockdown poems, an accurate snapshot of these strange times? Well, Catherine, as far as I know, Rhiannon is bringing out a book of those poems in September, those and some other poems, I think. Ed here is laying out his stall on marriage. Brave man. Brendan, people always ask, why do so many marriages fail? When the question should be, why do so many manage to succeed? Since when you think about it, the whole concept of spending your entire life with the same person is a ludicrous proposition. Brave man there, Ed. Now, speaking of marriage and matters like that, obviously from Monday we can travel anywhere in the country. But you know that for a lot of grandparents of babies born during the pandemic, Monday will be the first time that they'll see their grandchildren since they were born. And I think a lot of us have thought throughout this that it must have been very strange and a little bit of a scary time to have a new baby. So let's find out a little bit more about some lockdown babies and their mums. I'm joined now by three new mums. Amy Rose Hart is mum to three-month-old Amelia. Sue Murphy is the mother of five-month-old Julia. And Louise Keogh is in our Cork studio and she's mum to three-month-old Sam. And guys, you're all very welcome, and I know it's probably not easy to get out of the house at this stage of things, so thanks for coming in. Maybe you're delighted to be here.
Break. Yeah.
So Amy Rose, I'd start with you. So Amelia was born on March the 15th, and I gather quite normal at that stage things were. Your husband Jim was with you throughout it and everything, and you were discharged from Holles Street on Patrick's Day. You're going home with your little bundle of joy, and the world has completely changed.
That's correct. It was highly unusual. We went into Holles Street in our own little bubble, to be perfectly honest. We knew we were due around then. But by the time we left the hospital, we live in Castleknock, drove through Phoenix Park on St. Patrick's Day, completely deserted. We stopped at the pharmacy and at Super Value on the way home. And I remember distinctly queues outside Super Value, yellow ticker tape across the kind of pharmacy entrance. And then we went home that evening and watched the Taoiseach's speech where he announced the country was going into lockdown. And it was really sobering few hours, to be honest with you, to kind of come home to that, and a really sobering realisation that the world that we left this house in was completely changed. Yeah. But to be perfectly honest with you, it has been a very pleasant, positive experience for us. I know there's been a lot of hardship around the country, obviously. But if somebody was to ask you how to kind of spend lockdown, you'd spend it with a newborn. We've just had hundreds upon hundreds of hours of uninterrupted time with her to share her with each other and to learn. So it's been unusual, but very positive and pleasant at the same time.
Lovely, good. And Louise, so Sam was born a week later in Cork, and at that stage everything had changed and the hospitals had tightened up restrictions on things like partners being allowed in and everything. Tell me about the day of the birth.
Yeah, so I had Sam in CUMH, that was the 22nd. I was kind of closely watching the restrictions in the hospital, knowing the week previous that they were going to probably bring in a change with the partners not being allowed in general. So that came in, I think, around the 18th. So I knew, and I had a bit of time to prepare for the fact that I'd be going in by myself. So I went in the middle of the night, went into labour at home, and my husband dropped me off at the door, which, you know, thinking back now is actually kind of funny, because it was as if I was heading off on a spa weekend or something. I hopped out of the car with my bag and that was that, you know, on my merry way. So he didn't come back in then until the birth, which was actually a full 24 hours later that Sam arrived. So he made it in for probably about a half hour before the birth and then was able to stay for about an hour after as well.
Okay, so I think it's a very scary time anyway. I know it's a time of great joy and everything, but for me, fear is the thing I remember most. But imagine all that strangeness around it as well. Now, Sue, people will have noticed that Julia is 5 months. Mm-hmm. She was born at the end of January, but you were quite sick afterwards. Mm-hmm. And then just as you were kind of recovering, ready to go back out in the world, everything went into lockdown.
Just literally, I think I'd made it to the Arnott's warehouse sale that weekend and I was delighted. light of my life. It was like a Friday, 2 hours to myself. It was brilliant. And then just like that, it was a couple of days later, it was the lockdown was announced. So we were back into the house and we were just staying outside. I'd been on maternity leave since the 20th of December because I had diabetes. So they were monitoring whether they'd need to induce me. So all the way up through January, I was still in the house. I was coming out. I had another 2 months in the house. I was ready to leave. And then I was back into the house again. So I did get to a point where I was like, am I ever going to... Like, everyone was saying, oh my God, I'm sick of this lockdown. And I was like, I was there 2 months ago. I'm over that now. I'm never leaving this house again. So, yeah, it was quite... For me, it was a little bit more difficult, I think, because... I had got used to, you know, I was getting a bit of the hang of things and I would prefer to be out and about and kind of starting to socialise again. So I did find that quite difficult. I did miss mams. I remember before I had the baby, I was like, people would be like, oh, you need to have your mams groups. And I was like, oh my God, I have enough friends. I don't need to talk to new people. And you do, you really do. You just need that tribe of women that you're able to talk. She's a bit of a temperature. She's doing this weird thing or what's it? You just need a bit of reassurance from somebody who's going through the same thing.
I believe you had to actually turn to men for reassurance at times, a gang of men. God help you.
I work in sport. I work for Off the Balls. There's like four of the guys that are parents and I text them. I kind of share it out between the four of them so they don't all feel like they're getting hit up for information all the time. But they're great. They've just been so brilliant over the entire thing. And I think that's what helped as well. There was two women that I worked with that had babies around the same time. And I don't think we would have become as close as we did if it didn't happen. But if you're just leaning on people so much through WhatsApp and Zoom and that kind of thing to just get information and find out things and find out what everyone else is going through. Because, God, don't go down the Google. Like, the Google thing is just a disaster. What is this? What is happening? And, like, you're convinced the child has meningitis by the end of the day. It's just not a good idea. But you just need a sounding board.
Miss that, Amy Rose, the way the community will come in around a new mother and help 100%. Her along.
Yeah, and particularly actually since the restrictions have eased, I've found it really helpful being able to talk to other moms that, for example, ones that I also work with, saying, well, what are you doing? And are you allowing other people to hold your baby?
Yeah.
Or are you letting people into the house? Because for me, actually, lockdown was quite straightforward and simple. There was clear guidelines if we stayed in the house. Now it's a little bit more uncertain. It's a little bit more unknown. And your instinct is to kind of hand your baby over when you see somebody. I met my best friend last weekend and I just wanted to hand her over for, you know, half an hour and get a break. But actually, now that restrictions are eased, you're just... That sense of fear is almost doubled because.
So is there handing over of babies going on?
At the moment, personally, I'm not doing it, but I don't know how sustainable that is long term.
We started. Presumably
with people you trust.
We were going to widen the net. We just widened it out to kind of more family members because, I mean, she's only met her... My parents are in Galway, so she's met her grandparents once on that side. And we started, like, her grandmother and her grandfather now coming to the house that are from Dublin, so that's fine. But we just said... God, like, what are we going to do? If there's a year of this, if there's another lockdown, do we just take this opportunity now while the cases are low to actually just let people into the house? And that was kind of the decision we made because for her, she you can see it in her. She wants to see people now. She wants to see people other than me and my husband all the time. So we kind of just gave her access to other people.
And Louise, what's your strategy? Has the baby been seeing people?
Yeah, similar. So we're really lucky in that both sets of grandparents are in Cork and quite near us. So, he's been seeing loads of them and his aunts and uncles that are down. One of my sisters is still in Dublin, so she's yet to meet him. And my other sister, in a happy coincidence, had a baby the same week in the COMH as well. So she has a new nephew and niece to meet when she eventually comes down. But most of the rest of the family are around Cork. So yeah, we're kind of open for visitors, really.
Yeah, and of course, you were lucky to have the grandparents around. Sue and Amy Rose, you're both obviously from the country living in Dublin. So were you... planning on leaning on grandmothers at this time?
It would have absolutely been one of the top things I would have loved to have done after having a baby, have my mother up to the house, get the spare room ready, you know, plan to get a couple of hours sleep in the morning, night, afternoon, whenever you can get it. But that just didn't happen. It was very, very clear in kind of early March, myself and my mother would have been talking on the phone and she was going, I just can't. We just couldn't foresee a situation whereby it would make sense for her to come up to the house. So that was definitely the most difficult thing. thing, just not having that practical support around you in the house, experienced mums who've done it before, who can tell you you're holding them right, you're holding them wrong. And that's what I
support the head. Support the head.
Otherwise you're just staring at your...
Good God, support the head. So were you relying on your mom to come up?
Yeah, my mom was like, my husband had just gone back to work actually. So he had 2 weeks back in the office before they locked everything down. But I was still quiet and well at that stage. And I remember texting my mom and saying, she cried for 5.5 hours straight today. Is there any way you can come up and spend a week? Just help me. So my mom was actually getting ready to come up and spend a good bit of time with me, and then the lockdown happened, so it was just, you're on your own. And I mean, my husband was working from home, but you're essentially on your own with a child for 8 hours a day,
you know? And like, it can be a lonely time anyway. Was it quite lonely for you?
I found it quite lonely, quite isolating. I think it's, you know, you're trying to get through the day, get everything, get her sorted all day, and then you're trying to get onto a Zoom call at half 9 o'clock at night when you're absolutely exhausted. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of times when I brought her up to bed and I just pass out myself at 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, because there's no let up. You're just constantly looking after her. And my husband, like, it was great having my husband in the house, but he works in media as well, so he was doing podcasts and videos in the front room, so it's not really always the opportunity to go in and go, hi, can you just take her in the middle of your podcast here? So it's quite isolating, I found it. As well as that, like, I don't think you just, you know, you know you have people at the end of a WhatsApp, but you don't want to just keep asking people questions all the time. I think if you spend an hour with a mom, you get through a lot of information. You don't want to keep calling people all the time going, hey, what's the story with this now? It's 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't care.
Apart from, I'd say the men like enjoyed mansplaining to a woman how to bring up a baby.
As if
half of them had a clue of the nitty gritty.
Good.
It's better than we're told then, yeah. Louise, did it help to have your partner presumably was at home in some shape or form during it all? Does that help?
Oh, 100%, yeah. I have a newfound respect for people who either do this on their own or do it, you know, like somebody, usually the partners or husbands would be gone back to work after 2 weeks. I genuinely don't know how people do that. It was such a realisation. He was at home for the first 2 months with us, which was amazing. So I had a second pair of hands, you know, as Sue was saying there, just popping in to say, can you take him for a minute there? I need to go for a shower, or, you know, it was great. And both, we had pretty much a Meals on Wheels service, although we weren't really seeing anybody in the house or nobody was coming in. We had like a stream of hot food from the two sets of parents for the first month, which was amazing. So
fantastic. So people found way. I know, like, that we kind of, you must have missed a lot of the celebrations and the coming togethers and the support and everything, but people did find ways, did they? Did you find that, Amy Rose?
I thought it was incredible. The it was like the kindness was still there when the new baby arrived. You know, I worried in advance, will people celebrate her? They absolutely did. Like, we had enormous support. We had lasagnas dropped at the doorstep one evening. I just had 3 bags of Dieppe shaker on the doorstep. A friend ordered 4 nights worth of curry for us. We had, you know, my aunt arrived and had Prosecco at the window just to kind of toast her arrival. And that, we had loads of those kind of people sending cards, packages in the post. And actually what was lovely about that was, because we were in lockdown, we appreciated the extra effort people went to kind of maybe go to the post office and put something in the post. It just, they were maybe taking a little bit of a risk doing that. So that kindness was still there. It was just there in a very different form. And that actually made us feel very close to people. And it was just extraordinarily helpful just to have that practical support. As Louise just said, Meals on Wheels. All you really want is hot food delivered at your doorstep and to be cook. Fed and watered when you're trying to keep a baby alive.
Yeah. You know, the ordinary, they're not ordinary challenges, but the challenges that can arise at a time like this, things like maybe a little touch of baby blues and breastfeeding. I know it can be quite hard for a lot of women. They can feel a lot of pressure and everything. Was that more, were things like that an issue for you at all, Louise?
Yeah, big time. So I could have really probably done with, especially with the feeding, you know, the support groups that are around the place. I know there's loads of them in Cork or even in my locality usually, and none of them were running. So we actually did a Zoom call with a lactation consultant because I needed a bit of help at the beginning. But and she was great. She was amazing. But, you know, it's just nothing beats that kind of face-to-face, hands-on consult that you kind of need when you're new and jittery and you don't know what you're doing, you know. So I definitely felt that. I thought, you know, I could have really done with somebody. But, you know, the public health nurses were amazing, especially in our locality. Like, one of them, you know, speaking of innovative ways that people, you know, come up with things in the lockdown, she called me and said, look, you're doing a great job. I'll drop a scales to the door. Just you can, it'll be disinfected. You can weigh him, you know, so that you get comfort over the fact that he is putting on weight and everything's fine. And then I'll collect it again a half an hour later. So they were amazing as well. You know, from afar, I think people found ways to support you in different ways, you know.
Amy Rose, you found breastfeeding quite challenging as well.
Initially, yeah, and exact same experience as Louise. I wonder actually, did we have the same lactation consultant? But she did the exact same. Scales were put through the window and disinfected, and we had to weigh her and everything. But to be honest, actually, I found that in the end, because I had more time in the house, there were no visitors coming. As I said, it was like this distraction-free, uninterrupted three-month episode. I actually have persevered with breastfeeding in a way that I don't think I would have had we not been in lockdown, because we just had time and time to persevere with the challenges, time to think about what the lactation consultant has advised us. So actually, we're still breastfeeding, but I don't know would I be at this stage where we living kind of under normal circumstances. So that extra time really benefited us and has benefited her. Thank God.
So I believe you discovered your parenting personality in lockdown, and you discovered your husband's one as well, and his approach is different to yours.
About everything or just...
Well, you tell me.
I'm a bit more, yeah. I'm very structured. Is this what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so my days would have been, I spent a lot of time reading and getting to know, you know.
You were the expert.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's really funny. Like it's when I hand her over, I think it's hilarious in our house that I hand her over and immediately the questions, I'm going to the next room and you just start here. And what's she having next? And what time's the next nap? And when did you get the thing? And once, and I literally just gave her to you. Just give her back to me. It's easier. This is easier if I just do it myself.
You see, that's his strategy, of course. It's like breaking the dishes when you're washing the ware, isn't it?
I know, he is. He's brilliant with her, but he's the fun. He just walks into a room. He's the crack. And you're just like, she was meant to go for a nap about an hour ago. Why is she hopping off the ceiling?
Do you think the bonding is better because of the lockdown with the dads?
Absolutely. I just think they've had so much time to, like, he doesn't have massive chunks in his day where he can come in, but you lose the commute time. So he's lost the commute in the morning, the commute in the evening. So he looks after in the morning and the evening, and then I take her for the bulk of the day. I think that's actually what's helped him out so much, because he's a huge bomber. You can see it now. And I went out today not even being concerned about, you know, naps or food. I think he knows what he's doing because he's not out of the house all the time. He can see what I'm doing when I'm there. I think that's such an advantage for them, you know.
Have you found that as well, Louise?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like, I mean, you know, the way, as I said earlier, newfound respect for people who do it on their own from the very beginning. I think it's so hard. But yeah, like Sam would be, you know, just as happy with Don as he is with Mina, which is great. It's a lot more 50-50 than I think it would have been, you know, given a normal maternity, paternity leave kind of situation.
I thought it was interesting in the notes here that all of you say that you're still quite nervous about going out and about with the babies. You're nodding there, Amy Rose.
Yeah, I have to be honest. And I had I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, my brother did come over to the house 2 weekends ago. And actually, after they left, I said to my husband, I don't think I'm ready to do that yet. I was trying to socially distance the kitchen, and it was all, it wasn't worth the kind of nerves and fear that it's the unknown. What are we dealing with here? She's probably fine, but you just never know. So as a result, actually, we were just meeting people outside. We've met people in lovely parks and greenways, and actually have developed a love of the outdoors that I never ever had. But yeah, there's certainly a fear there. You would love to be able to just, as I say, share her and celebrate her with people, but it was more simple in lockdown. There were straight guidelines. You could keep them safe. You were in your cocoon. You were in the house. Now, that can't last forever, obviously. But now that restrictions are easing, you're a lot more, it's a lot more guesswork. You're kind of trusting your own instinct, which is a lot of what you really do and figuring out in motherhood. But it's not as straightforward, I have to be honest, since the restrictions are lifted. You're a little more you're more on edge now.
Yeah. You agree, Sue?
Oh, absolutely. And my thing is bringing her into places. Like, I went into Boots the other day and I put her rain cover over the buggy going into Boots because I was like, oh my God, in case nothing happens.
Good idea. She's in a bubble.
Those kind of things. So you're not really, like, I was saying that I think there's going to be two groups of people that are going to come out of this on Monday. There's going to be a group of people that are happy to get back to just kind of some sort of normality. And then there are people who are going to be young babies, vulnerable groups, who are just going to be a bit more cautious about what they do. And we're just not there. I mean, we were supposed to go to London next week. We were like, How would you, you just wouldn't be able to do that. Can you imagine doing something like that? And my maternity leave is actually meant to finish next week. And what am I meant to do? Put her into childcare? It's just all very...
And there, I know there's a petition to extend maternity leave for 3 months. And I think that that was being considered. Would that make a big difference to your life?
Yeah? I think it'd make a big difference to new moms in general. I think we've lost those 3 months in a lot of ways. We had spent a lot of time with our kids and we got to know them and we've definitely given them the best start that we could give. But in terms of like, my baby can't even go into the car. She's terrified. She doesn't know what the car is. She was in it 4 times. She doesn't understand. She doesn't know grandparents. You have to be in the room with her all the time and she's meeting new people. She's just, it's just... stuff like that that you just wouldn't have thought twice about.
And I think things that you might have ordinarily done way earlier on in your, you know, in the baby's life, like putting them in the car, taking them out by yourself for the day, you know, you didn't do any of that for the first 2 months. So now it's kind of a big ordeal and they're older. So they're kind of a bit more aware of what's going on. So it's just a little bit harder. The normal day to day stuff can be slightly harder with them, you know.
Yeah, God. So like for all we talk about the kids in school missing out and everything else, there's 3-4 months there in babies' lives when they would have done a massive amount of getting used to all kinds of stuff and didn't really get that.
Even for yourself, like the other day, I was like, I'd love to just sit outside for a coffee, just sit outside the local village. And actually then I was like, do you know what? I don't think I could be bothered. And we ended up going to the Krispy Kreme local drive through and ordering a coffee.
Yeah,
and
you're just like, no, do you know what? It's not actually worth this hassle.
Not worth it.
So you end up going for what? Like the other day I ordered something from Woody's and click and collect because I was like, if I do that, I'll have to put her in the car. I'll have to bring her in. It was a stepladder. I was like, I have to bring the car. And then I got up the next morning at 7 o'clock and I was like, I'm going to go before you go into work and I'm going to get it because I was too afraid to bring her in the car.
I had to call my husband the other day to see how you folded the buggy. I clearly hadn't done that by myself for the last 3 months. So.
This is like a mum support group. None of us have ever had.
Welcome, Brendan.
Relax, relate, communicate. Listen, I'll tell you one thing. They are 3 very, very lucky babies. It was lovely to talk to you all and good luck. And look, get back out there. It's always hard, but get back out there. There's a whole world outside there and babies need to see it. So Amy Rose Hart, Sue Murphy and Louise Kyo, congratulations again on the new babies and thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks. Email brendan@rte.ie.